good morning, friendship. I am told that today is the first day of spring. Still like 35 degrees outside, so we're hoping that it gets really, really nice and warm. I know spring break is starting for most of the kids, so hopefully it's got beautiful weather in store for you so you can send them outside and they will be worn out and go to bed really, really, really early and sleep really, really late, just for you as parents. Praise God. Okay, we are in the tail end of our seasonal series. For those of you that are guests or maybe this is the first couple times you're here, we decided that we would take January, February, and March, and the first week of April, and we would actually do a season-long series, our seasonal series, and it's entitled Building a Life that Matters. It's based off the three truths that we believe that God has, and we believe that God has in store for each and every person who would pursue being a passionate disciple of Jesus Christ. We believe that God calls those who are followers, that are passionate followers of Jesus Christ, to be spiritually deep, to continue to grow in their relationship with God and the relationship with those around them through Jesus Christ. That then God calls us to be financially stable. It doesn't mean that we have money that flows out all over the place. It means that the resources that God has given us, we manage them in such a way to be able to enjoy and pursue the purpose that God has for our life, to be spiritually deep, relationally stable, and then the third one, relationally satisfied. Relationally satisfied. And that's what we're talking about right now. We're talking about the relational life and how we connect with those around us. That God talks about the fact that He wants us to have this vertical relationship with Him. But then God also wants us to have a horizontal relationship with other human beings. That even in the book of Genesis, when God created everything perfect and sinless and holy, and God created Adam, God said that it was not good for Adam to be alone. That God needed connection with other human beings. And sometimes the way that God works in and through us is not just through His Word. It's not just through our relationship with Him. It's also through our relationship with others. And so it's really important for us to make sure that we relate to others in a fashion that honors God, that fits with the way that God created us. And so we started this part of the series with talking about the fact that if we're going to relate to others correctly, we need to make sure that we are being ourselves. And by being yourself, it simply means that you look to who God has made you to be. Because we will never be able to relate to others in a better fashion than we do relating to ourselves. God talked about that through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, listen, if you are to love others, you're to love others as you love yourself. That doesn't mean you got to love yourself first and this mushy-goosey stuff. No, it means that if you don't have a right relationship with God, understanding who He's created you to be, that means you're going to have a lot of disappointment with others, and it starts with how you see yourself. And then we also talked about what it means to be a friend, to be a friend. And you know, it's just amazing that we often talk about wanting to have friends, but we forget the big idea that God shared in His Bible, and it says, listen, if you want to be a friend, you've got to be friendly. You got to understand what it means to be a friend, to actually be compassionate and sympathetic, to be understanding, to be someone that comes alongside and is faithful. And we talked about all of that last week. And then this week, we're going to talk about how we need to be considerate. We need to be considerate. Now, I'm sure that when I say that, many of you have different thoughts that come into your head about what it means to be considerate. And maybe you've actually had relationship with someone or many someones where you're sitting to yourself and you go, I wish they would just be considerate. I wish they would just think about me for a little bit. I wish they would try to see things from my perspective. I wish that they would. Did you notice all the personal pronouns that were in there? Do you notice who the personal pronouns were directed towards? Me, my, mine. You see, it's an amazing thing when we understand relationship with others and we always begin with how they should treat us better. Being considerate is not something that you can force on someone else. It's something that you have to create within yourself. You see, if you are truly going to be relationally satisfied in this world, you need to learn how to be considerate. It's not about teaching the other person how to be considerate. It's not about making or forcing the other person to see things from your perspective. In fact, quite frankly, the idea of being considerate is you are more concerned about understanding than you are being understood. Because the key to consideration is looking at the situation, looking at the relationship, looking at everything through the other person's perspective. So I want to begin in a passage of Scripture that, I don't know, if you've been in church for a while, you've probably heard it, but it's not something that people spend a lot of time on because it's kind of one of those things that you read through and you go, oh, okay. And it's found in the book of Philippians. Now, the book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul started the church at Philippi, and he's writing this book to this church in Philippi. And so it's called Philippians. The Bible's really not that difficult. It's either named by the author, it's named by the group of people that were getting it. So it's the Philippians. Just like we're Hoosiers, they were Philippians. So he writes this letter to the Philippians. And this letter is widely circulated, not just to the entire church at Philippi, but also to all the churches in Asia, and eventually it gets placed within the canonical Bible, and everyone reads it and everyone understands it. Now, this is interesting because Paul is an apostle, which means he carries the full weight and authority of God. God placed within him the full weight and authority to be able to command and direct. And so when you get a letter from this apostle, the thing is you gather the church together, like, oh, Paul has sent us a letter. And everyone goes like, ah. And you go, okay, let's all gather together on Sunday for church, and we are going to read Paul's letter to us. And so Philippians chapter 1 starts with grace to you. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are so wonderful. I love you guys. I wish I could be with you. And then he talks about Epaphroditus, one of the people from their church that came and brought him some stuff because Paul wasn't doing well. And he's like, oh, Epaphroditus heard that you guys found out that he was sick, and now I'm sending him back to you with this letter. And oh, it's just this wonderful thing. And then he gets to Philippians chapter 4. Now remember, they were not, Paul did not write the letter like Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. He just wrote it, okay? So they're reading the letter, and it gets to this. Now, can you imagine, again, this is read for the first time. The church is all sitting here listening, and then Paul does this. Now, I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Those are two women within the church. And they're like, Paul's addressing us personally. This is great. And be like, listen, let me tell you something. This morning when I talked to so-and-so, they're like, oh, but then wait. Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. Paul writes in this letter, which becomes a book of the Bible called Philippians, to two women who were fighting in the church. It was so bad that he felt he needed to actually write in the letter, stop! Stop arguing with each other. Stop fighting with each other. Stop picking on each other. And the reason he begins with this is, listen, because you belong to the Lord. And it was, listen, you two women have accepted Jesus Christ. The two of you are supposed to be working together. You're supposed to both love God, and yet you're arguing. And now I know immediately you're going, oh, I know people like that. I know women like that. I know men like that. And you know what? They're just not very spiritual. And I ask you, my true partner, he's talking to the pastor there, he says, I ask you, my true partner, help these two women. He goes, listen, you need to get involved in what's going on here, this spat, this disagreement. You need to step in and help these two women solve it. And then he tells why it's so important that these two women get it right. For they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement, who was one of the early church fathers, who is often, if you love theology, he wrote a lot about theology. He is one of the founders of the understanding of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life, always be joyful and full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Because remember, Jesus is coming back. And you need to make sure the relationship is right. Paul literally says, listen, these two ladies were foundational in my ministry there. These were not two women who had just started coming to the church, and they showed up on the same day with the same toga. These were two women in the church who had helped establish the church. They had made and accomplished all the things that Paul accomplished, solidified. They were there. They were founders of this church, and something happened. These were godly women who loved God passionately and had made many sacrifices to be able to do all that they had done, and yet something happened. Do you know that two people who love Jesus Christ can get in an argument? It's very possible. In fact, we see that Paul himself, the writer of the book of Philippians, got into an argument with one of his very best friends, a guy named Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas went on a missionary journey together, the very first missionary journey in which they founded all of these churches. And the second missionary journey that Paul went on, he didn't go on it with Barnabas because Barnabas wanted to take his nephew, Mark. Mark had begun to go on the journey with them, the first journey, and Mark then abandoned them because it got too hard. Paul said, I want nothing to do with that jerk. Barnabas goes, it's my nephew. I kind of got to take him. And they got into an argument. Does anybody doubt that Paul loved Jesus Christ? And there's no doubt that Barnabas loved Jesus Christ, but they could not see eye to eye. And the Bible says they went separate ways. In this missionary journey, which Philippi was founded, Paul was with a guy named Silas. You see, there are times, even when you love Jesus Christ, even if the other person loves Jesus Christ, there are times that you can get to a point where it doesn't matter what you do, you cannot see eye to eye. So here's the key. Here's why this is so essential and so important in these relationships. Because conflict, this is the big idea, conflict in any relationship can be cured with consideration. Conflict in any relationship can be cured with consideration. Paul says to these two women, listen, please settle your disagreement. And then he says, listen, be joyful, understand what's going on. And then he says, listen, let everyone see how considerate you are. How considerate you are. In other words, take a moment, take a deep breath, stop worrying so much about whether or not you're right. Do you know that you can be right and be wrong at the same time? You can be right and go, oh yeah, 2 + 2 = 4, and be wrong, jerk, at the same time. You see, it's all in about how you handle it. And Paul says, be considerate. So what does it mean? I mean, how are we to be considerate? What are actions? What are things that we need to do in these relationships? And maybe right now, you can right now go, man, I am in a serious conflict within a relationship. Maybe it is with the person that you usually have your arm around, but don't right now. Every guy just went like this. Because you are in conflict with something that happened this morning on your way to church. Or maybe it's a bigger conflict. Maybe you're like, I don't even want to sit next to you. Or I don't want to live in the same house with you. Or maybe it's not a marital relationship. Maybe it's a relationship with a friend. And because they did or didn't do something, or they did think about something, or they acted some way, or they said something, now there's conflict in that relationship. I want to tell you, they may be wrong. In fact, let's just use it. They are wrong. They are wrong, wrong. Whoever you are in conflict right now with, just write down in your mind, put their mind and go, blank is wrong. Okay? Everyone with me so far? You're like, yeah, it's great. You can't change them. But you can change you. And if you will learn how to show consideration, you can create the path through which conflict resolution can be discovered. So I'm going to share with you this morning what you need to do. Don't be sitting there like, so-and-so. No. It has nothing to do with so-and-so. It has everything to do with you. Be considerate. here's how you need to be considerate. Four changes you need to make to find and be considerate. Number one, see teammate, not competitor. See teammate, not competitor. Paul, a couple of chapters earlier in his book to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, says this, "Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit." Now, we're going to read the rest of that verse in just a second. But if you have lived or grown up in the state of Indiana, you are very familiar with this term, rivalry. If you are a Indiana basketball fan and very, very sad, probably taking depression medicine right now, or maybe you're celebrating because Tom Crean's gone. I don't know. Whatever is your case. Who is your number one most hated other college basketball program on the planet? Purdue. Purdue. Praise God, Purdue. Now, if you are a Purdue fan, right? Yeah. Right here in the front row, I better be careful. If you are a Purdue fan, you complain all the time about how all the sports talk radio stations talk about IU and not Purdue. Because IU always gets all the publicity, and poor Purdue is a second, you know, redheaded stepchild nobody loves. Because there's a rivalry there. If you are a Indianapolis Colts fan, yeah, there we go. We hate who? The Patriots. See, this is easy. You get this rivalry thing, right? You hate them. In fact, the fact that we actually did a trade with the New England Patriots, we gave away Dwayne Allen. It's like, what's the matter with you? Something's wrong. It's like you made a deal with the devil, and his name is Belichick. You are at odds. You are rivalry with that. And here's the thing. When you think competition, how many people win? Now, not this participation trophy crap, because that's not real, okay? No. First place is first place. No. Okay, so if it's competition, how many people win? One. There can only be one. Only one person can win. If in your relationship you are thinking competition or rivalry, your goal in that relationship is to what? To win. And if you are competitive like I am competitive, you do what it takes to win. Because winning matters, right? Here's the problem. If in your relationships you see competitor or rival and not teammate, you will do what it takes to win, even if it means running over a person you're in relationship with. Well, let's look at what the rest of what Paul says here. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. This is so important. If you miss the rest of everything this morning, please hear what I'm about to say, because this little thing alone could change your relationship right now. Relationships are not a competition. A competition is a zero-sum game. One person wins, or one team wins, and one team loses. It's a zero-sum game. Relationships are not zero-sum. Relationships can be a both-and. Relationships, when you see the other person as a teammate, means that you are moving in the same direction with the same goals to achieving the same end, which is harmony in relationship. And if you understand that, then that means you are willing to make the sacrifice necessary because you know that it not only is going to be for your good, but also for their good. And so you see that person as a teammate accomplishing the same goal so that you can have a good, positive relationship, which will have a trickle-down effect into everything else in your life. If you refuse to see a teammate and you constantly see a competitor, your relationships will always be uneasy and your relationships will always be at war and in tension because you're looking for how you can win. Paul says, do not look for your own interests only, but also for the interests of others. If you are considerate to the other person, it is actually a blessing to you. It actually is helping you move forward in your relationship with them and your relationship with God. See teammate, not competitor. The second thing, increase grace and decrease expectations. Increase grace and decrease expectations. Grace is giving someone something that they don't deserve and haven't earned. You're like, that's me. I'm going to give them me. It's something that they haven't deserved and they haven't earned. I am grace. Again, it's that selfish mindset, isn't it? Because we are by nature selfish and focused on ourselves. But the Apostle Paul puts this. He says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, make allowance, make room, create buffer for other people's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now, there is about 6 weeks worth of stuff in that one verse. He begins with make allowances for other people's failures. Can we all agree that we are all going to fail? Have failed, are in the process of failing, looking forward to our next failure. So if you are that way, then guess what? The other people in your life are that way. And if you start holding them to this faulty expectation of perfection or near perfection or your idea of perfection, then guess what? You are setting them up for failure. Every relationship that you enter into, whether you recognize it or not, you are walking into it with a box full of expectations. You go, oh, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. You know how I know that? Because more than likely in that relationship, you became offended at some point in time. What's that have to do with anything? They did something that hurt my feelings. Yes, because they did not fulfill an expectation that you had. You know, that's not how it works. That's exactly how it works. You, in that relationship, walked in with a box, set it down on the table, kept the box closed, and like, this is my expectations for this relationship. Like, well, what are they? You're going to have to wait and find out. Because every time you blow one, I will let you know. Maybe verbally, maybe non-verbally, maybe I'll just stare at you ugly. But you will know that you have not fulfilled one of my expectations. Every relationship is that way. The people with the most expectations of others will be the ones walking around perpetually offended by everything. There are people like that, aren't there? You see them on Facebook all the time. How dare you? What do you care about whether I say it or not? You know, it's a really easy thing on Facebook. You can just unfollow, click, and it's done. You probably never even met the person before. But we have a category of people that walk around offended all the time. They're looking for ways to be offended. Paul literally says, listen, forgive anyone who offends you. You go, hang on a second. Whoa. You mean after they say they're sorry, right? Does it say that? Paul says, listen, if someone offends you, your immediate response should be, I give up the right to be offended. I don't need to be offended. You're like, but then you lose all power. Exactly. You see, because that's what expectations are. They're power. They're power that you can hold over the other person. And oftentimes those expectations are unexpressed. And it makes it even worse because now they're playing in the dark, trying to figure out what they're supposed to do and not supposed to do. So the only way that you can truly express true consideration to a person is to increase grace. Like Paul says, begin to make allowances and room for people's failures. But then to decrease your expectations, to go, you know what? I'm going to lower my expectations for what I would see. And those expectations that I do have, I'm going to clearly communicate. Now, this does not mean, hear me out, this is very important. This does not mean you let them get away with sin. This does not mean that you're like, well, it's just who they are. We talked about that already in this series. This does mean that your personal proclivities and hang-ups should not determine whether or not you have a positive relationship with someone else. So you need to increase grace, and you need to lower your expectations, and thereby being considerate to the other person. See teammate, not competitor. Increase grace, decrease expectations. Lift up, don't push down. Lift up, don't push down. This is very interesting because so far we've come across clear commands from God, right? We begin with the first one where it talks about the fact, do nothing. That there's no room for that. It's do nothing out of rivalry. And then the second one in Colossians, he says, make allowances. These are positive commands from God. And then he finishes that with, you need to forgive anyone. Don't ever think about not forgiving someone because Christ forgave you when you didn't deserve it and you hadn't earned it. Therefore, you better be extending grace and forgiveness to the people around you. And then it comes to this one about lifting up instead of pushing down, because it's really, really easy to make fun of someone else and a particular thing that they have an issue with when we don't have that same issue, isn't it? It's really easy to razz, pick on, slam someone that has an addiction to chocolate cake when you like vanilla. Like, how can anyone like chocolate cake? What is the matter with you? Well, I would say, what is the matter with you? Because if you don't like chocolate cake, your mama apparently dropped you on your head as a child. Amen. Praise God. It's said and done, okay? But seriously, it's really easy to knock someone because of how they feel, experience, or been involved with something else. It's easy to do that because we don't struggle with that. At the same time, when we come across someone else who struggles with the same thing that we struggle with, it's like, oh man, I understand where you're coming from, brother. Man, this is so hard. Because we can relate to it. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Paul has just spent literally the entire chapter of Romans chapter 14 talking about if you are strong in a particular area, that your faith is strong in a particular area, you don't struggle with something, that you have an obligation, a responsibility. You are commanded by God to be considerate of the person who is weak in that area. And so he begins Romans chapter 15 this way. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not please ourselves, just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. You ever been in a relationship with somebody that in particular areas they were really super sensitive? Every guy in the room is like, yeah. Here's the thing. Because we are not sensitive on that area, we tend to be insensitive to the person who is. But Paul says, if you are strong, in other words, you're not sensitive in that area, it is your job. It is your responsibility. It is an obligation given to you by Christ himself to be extra sensitive for that person in that area. And by doing so, we help that person get stronger and grow. We're to lift them up, not push or put them down. We are to increase grace while at the same time we decrease our expectations. We are to see a teammate, not a competitor. And then finally, we are to act short term, but think long term. We're to act short term, but think long term. In any relationship, there's that moment, right? Something happens. And by Christ, we've been commanded to act rightly in that moment. We are to discern the situation, we're to understand what's going on, and we are to respond correctly in that moment. We are to act in that moment in the way that God would have us to act. And we've talked about that. We're to consider where they're coming from. We are to understand and take into consideration their needs, not just ours. We are to extend grace. We are to do all of these things in that moment. However, there is a bigger picture going on in every relationship that you have, because the Bible says that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, your primary mission on this planet is to glorify God in everything that you do. The highest way that you and I can glorify God is to spread the name of Jesus Christ, to have other people see through us in our actions and our activities that Jesus Christ is actually worth it, that he is actually something that should be pursued, to present it in such a way that people go, I want that. And so every single relationship that you are in should be a redemptive relationship. Meaning that long term, you're thinking, how is this relationship going to impact their eternal destiny? How is this relationship going to impact the destiny of the people around me who are watching this relationship? I'll tell you what, this has been something that for years I have been thinking through and working on. I put myself through college as a waiter. Those of you who have ever gone out to eat before, I'm assuming that would be all of you, have experienced a waiter. Now, I was a waiter at a restaurant called Friendly's Restaurant. If you've ever been to a Friendly's Restaurant, they have the greatest ice cream sundaes in the entire planet. They are wonderful. The Reese's Peanut Butter Cup ice cream, which has five scoops of two scoops of chocolate, three scoops of peanut butter, and then crushed Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and then melted peanut butter, and then, okay, we get the point. So it's wonderful. The longer that I worked there, the more tables that I continued to receive. If a bus came in of old women who just got done shopping in, Old Town Scranton, and they were doing the antiquing, and the bus came of 40, 50 old women that came in, they would always give me that bus. And here is the reason why, okay? It's not because I'm like, super waiter. It's because I understood that my money directly came from how well I took care of the people that were put underneath my care. And so I would do a bus, and I would like, just let me do the bus, because I will come out of there with like 150 bucks in tips every single time. Because these old women, man, they're like, oh, here you go. And they just do it, because when you take their order, you write their name across the top. And every time you come back in, you're like, well, Doris, what would you like? And they're like, you're just like my grandson. Here's 50. I understood the whole waiter thing. You know, I am there to take care of you. I am so amazed when I go out to eat, how many waiters have no clue what their job is? Which is to take care of me, right? Is that not a waiter's job? Correct me if I'm wrong. Are you all with me on this? Are you here? Okay. Because you're like, I just don't know. I'm just going to sit there. I'm here for them. That's what I'm. No, they're there. Their job is to take care of you. And I tell you what, especially years ago, when I would go to a restaurant and I would get poor service, I'd be like, what is the matter with you? You got two tables. There's four people at that table, three people at this table. You cannot remember that? And I would really get irritated. This particular point kind of got driven home to me when I was talking to an individual who came to church for the very first time. And as we were having a conversation, they said to me, one of the reasons that I avoided church for so long was because I always worked as a waiter or waitress on Sundays. And we always knew that if you worked on Sundays, you got the worst tips and the rudest customers. Because when church let out, so did hell. I was like, oh my word. Every relationship and every relational contact that you have, you have to ask yourself the question, how is this impacting that person's eternal destiny? You're like, well, that's okay because I don't tell them I'm a Christian. No, you're kind of missing the point. Not only do you need to act right in the moment, but you need to think long term. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I, too, try to please everyone in everything I do. Now, some of you that are people pleasers are like, I have found my life verse. Let me tell you what Paul is saying here, okay? He's saying, listen, in every encounter that I have with someone else, I try to make sure that when I leave them, they are better off than when I found them. It's bigger than just trying to please them. He's trying to move them forward and closer to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know that because of how he goes. He goes, I don't just do what's best for me. In other words, I don't just do because I'm angry or I'm ticked off. I don't just do what I think is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. If you are truly going to find relational satisfaction, you need to learn how to be considerate. Now, is it hard sometimes? Yes. It can be excruciating sometimes. But here's the key. Remember that you're on the same team. You're working towards the same goal. Remember that you have failures and flaws, and so make room for theirs. Remember that you are weak in some areas where they may be strong and vice versa, so make sure that you lift up and don't push down. And never forget that every relationship that you have will have an impact on someone's eternal destiny. Whether it's the relationship that you are in or the relationship as people watch what's going on with your relationship, it's going to have an impact long term. And if you choose to be considerate, you will discover that it can resolve just about any conflict in any relationship if you take the mantle, if you take the responsibility of choosing to be considerate and think of them before you think of you.